It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is on the ones and twos. What's going on?
It's Wednesday, man. We've made it to Wednesday, and as our good friend Leland Statham says, it's hump day. He don't say it like that, but yeah, man, how are you, pal?
Oh, I'm fantastic. We got a big show planned today here on this Wednesday, packed and stacked, as our good friend Rick Merritt would say.
What's he doing now?
He's I think he's still at the Unathletic.
Still doing. He turns out some really great stories over there.
He is. I mean, he reported today that Will Levis is still on the team for the Titans.
See, I mean, that's stuff you get. He also on Sunday, because I listened to his podcast, said in order for the Titans to beat the Packers last Sunday, at the end they're going to have to score more points.
You
break down Levis and Malik Willis, but at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So it was really good. Chase, I got to tell you, this story just broke an hour ago, and here it comes. Here it comes. The UNLV quarterback.
Oh, folks, well, this broke last night.
Oh, it broke last night?
It broke last night. Okay. I saw it right before I went to bed.
Okay.
And I was going to bring this up with you.
We got to get to it now.
Oh, yeah.
And here it comes. And the NCAA, you have nobody to blame but yourself. So listen to this.
Yep.
The UNLV quarterback, and they're off to a great start.
They're undefeated.
And aren't they 2-0 against Big 10 teams or Big 12 teams, whatever? Last night, he quit the team. And he's a great quarterback because he hasn't gotten paid.
His NIL deal.
Here we go. I mean, this is going to start now. And here's the problem I got, the sub-problem of this. You can play up
to... Didn't know you were into that. But
subcontracting, right? I mean, I hire guys out all the time. You can play four games before your red shirt, before it kicks in, right? So he plays three games. I'm out. I'm gone. Now, I'm telling you, man, this is the start of it. You don't get paid. These guys be like, I'm out.
Yep.
And they know they got four games.
And I think there have been situations where this has happened before, but this is more high profile because it's the quarterback and because UNLV is actually good.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew Sluka, I think is how you say his name.
Right.
Yeah. Certain representations that were not upheld by the program. That's why
he's leaving.
What
does that mean?
I committed to UNLV. This is quote. Quote, I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled, Sluka posted on X. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for continued success of the program.
I wish my teammates continued success. That hurts me. I don't even.
So he'll redshirt the rest of the year.
He's got another year left.
And then he can...
Yep, go wherever he wants.
Yep.
You know? And he already transferred in from, I think, Holy Cross, where he came in from. But this is going to see the part of this. The Florida guy who's now suing the school, they promised him all that.
Oh, yeah.
I just hate it, man, because UNLV's off to a great start after having a couple of bad seasons. Barry Odom, the former Missouri head coach, is the head coach at UNLV.
Yeah.
So you see this happening now, man. I just – like, when the third-team linebacker does it, we don't care. Right,
right. But when it's the quarterback,
we care.
Yeah, if you're curious of why Nick Saban was sitting on the set with Pat McAfee at College Game Day,
right.
This is why.
Yeah,
UNLV. Listen to this. UNLV is 3-0 for the first time since 1984, and received 53 total points in the latest AP poll, just 16 points behind number 25 Boise State.
Great shot of being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Great
and
shot.
Now that, I mean, who knows now? Your starting quarterback's abandoning you.
Yeah. Done. So they have a game probably Saturday or whenever, and they're going to have to go to practice, and that guy's not there. Now, if I'm another school, do you take him? I mean, some other school probably will.
But
yeah,
I mean,
with that.
You have to play the game. If you don't play the game, you're going to get left behind. And what's interesting, and you can weigh in on this, 615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com, Marlon from Murfreesboro says, love that you're talking about UNLV and the eventual decline of college football as a whole. It's easy to think that college football as we know it is dead, buried, and gone. Like, it's how we grew up with it, you grew up with it and loved it so much. That's gone. It's not going anywhere because even though you may not like it and you may hate that guys are leaving based on NIL deals, unfortunately, you're still going – well, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to put it, you're still going to watch. So it's a billion-dollar industry,
yeah,
just like the NFL. The NFL product sucks right now, but guess what? You're still watching.
Yep, you are still watching. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, you make it closer to home. What if – I'm not saying we're dealing with hypotheticals again. What if Nico doesn't get paid?
Peyton will make sure that's taken
care of. Nico, get over here if you don't mind something.
Help me put my shoulder pads on.
Here's a little money for you. So, not saying that's going to, you know, happen, Nico, but it's going to be more and more about guys not getting paid and all that. And it's just, man, it's a whole new world. I've never been a fan of the four-game red shirt. I've always been a fan of you play, you burn your red shirt, you're gone. 4 games is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous to have be able to play 4 games and declare a red shirt.
Yeah, but, I mean, now what's interesting, we're getting some texts on this, and Robbie's one of them. He says, I mean, isn't the solution pretty simple? If you say you're going to pay the player, don't you need to be prepared to actually pay the player? And he's right. This is what it is now. I mean, if, you know, if they're saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, you know, if you come here and he agrees to it and it's a business decision now because that's exactly what it is and right. I mean, then it's on UNLV. Like, if they don't live up to it, again, we don't have to like it, but this is the way it is.
It is.
And it's the game in which everybody has to play. If you're a school like UNLV, mm-hmm. if you're a school like an MTSU or a Western Kentucky or one of these mid-majors, and you know that the only way you can compete now is going and finding guys like this that you know aren't going to be there very long.
Yeah. They're all doing
it. That's the game you got to play. Like, that's the game that, you know, Derek Mason's got to play at MTSU. That's what it is.
You're right, because they're going
to
get
looked you don't have to like it
by the schools. And by the way, Robbie had 3 hours to run his mouth.
Well, that's fine. No, I like when I text them. And
I'll have a word with him later on.
No, you won't. I've told you to stay 50 feet away from him at all times.
I hate starting out because we like to have fun and have a good time. And this is just, you know, the start.
I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to bring it up. Like, I'm glad you brought it up because it is a fascinating story.
It is. It really is. And it's not going to end there. It's going to go on and on and on. But, no, Robbie does make your point. If you promise to pay somebody, you have to pay them. And when you don't, this is the result of what's going to happen right there. And it's going to be more and more common. And we've talked about this for the last year or two. But this is what the world they create. Look, I don't mind guys getting paid. I don't mind.
There's more to this. So, there's Dr. Crane just sent this, and others have sent it too. This is from Carl Reed at Coach Reed Live, Carl Reed Jr. All financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent, and they collectively feel that his market value has increased per source. So he's basically taking the red shirt to be a free agent again.
My Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I can't see.
Oh, who sent us this?
I don't believe I sent it.
No, you did not.
Chad Withrow.
Oh, Chad Withrow.
Chad, thanks, Bubba. Appreciate you.
Yeah. No, I mean, 100%.
His family hired an agent after big wins.
But again, you don't have to like it, but this is the game.
They hired an agent after the big wins. Oh, man.
And again, the point that you made earlier, there is an entity that I have. I don't feel 1 ounce of, like, I don't feel bad for them at all. The NCAA.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you had years to get in front of this, and like most things, you sat on your ass and did nothing, and just, you know, woke up in the middle of the, you know, when the knock at the door came, like, oh, what's going on?
Yep.
Did we miss that? So, you know, I have no sympathy for them at all.
Yeah, two big wins. He hired an agent. What's happening in our world?
Okay,
with
but
this?
let me ask you something.
Yeah,
with the way the rules are and the way that you can play the game, do you blame him?
Yeah, I do. Play it out.
Yeah.
I made a commitment. Play
I would say that. You would say that. I would say that. But if you were in his shoes and you saw the money that you'd be leaving on the table if you didn't, Do you blame him? And like Ricky just said, hello, tampering. Yeah. No crap. But I mean, like, if you're in his, I mean, again, you got to look at everything from different perspectives.
I'm telling you, it's a bit of, look, Nico's.
I disagree with it.
Right.
But.
All right. Nico's fantastic, okay? Say he's making, what, $3 million a year? What's to stop a Kentucky booster from saying, Nico, come here, I'm going to pay you $15 million? Do you fault him if that happens? You don't know what I said.
No, sorry. I was reading the text.
All right. Say Nico makes $3 million at Tennessee. He's there 2 more years, and you're a Kentucky booster. You don't want to face that. You pay him $15
million? Yeah, you try.
You're damn right, you do.
Because tamper. I mean, look, and that's what this tweet says. Per source, this is Paloma, Fox 5 News. UNLV quarterback Matt Sluka has been approached with more money to transfer. I mean.
But the good news is. The good news is NCAA has done this one thing. You can't play for two schools in 1 year.
Right.
So he couldn't.
Now, I do wonder if that's going to happen eventually.
It can't.
It shouldn't. But, like I brought this up before. I've joked about it. Like, are we going to get to a point where there are trades or whatever in college football or college sports?
God, that's a great point, man.
Because, for instance, what's to stop – Or hold this thought. I got a thought on this coming up next.
Okay.
Well, we'll run through this scenario. We got a big show planned. John McClain going to join us at 9:30. Derek Mason at 10. For you wrestling fans out there at 10:15, it will be Tiffy time. Tiffany Stratton, Miss Money in the Bank from WWE, will join us to talk about SmackDown coming to Nashville at 10:15.
We're going to read a text from an old man who just texted us.
Okay. We will get to that and much more coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. An appropriate song for this discussion right now. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on this Wednesday. John McClain coming up at the bottom of the hour, but starting things off discussing a big story in college football. Quarterback Matthew Sluka of UNLV will redshirt the rest of the year and then transfer after he says he didn't get everything that has been promised to him by the program. Then there are conflicting reports that he was given everything. The family hired an agent after 2 Power 5 wins, and he's been approached with more money to transfer. And so what's funny is, yes, you know, as we talk about this, you know, Joe Rexro texted us, Robbie's texted us, we've gotten texts from, you know, other people on the text line that are like, you know, how could he, you know, if you promised him something, like, and he didn't get it, good on him, he should transfer. And I'm like, well, actually, they're saying that they did, and he's been offered more money to go elsewhere. That's like, oh, screw him. Like, it shows you how much it just changes.
Right. Well, I'm sure that we'll have a story in the next 24 hours that'll be resolved about all this to see what goes on. But I just – it shows me he doesn't care about your teammates, man. And, you know, we talk about football buying in. Everybody's part of a team. You buy in, and we win together, we lose together, man. It's just showed how that me mentality has dropped down. And I don't think it's going to change for a long time, man.
So here's my point on this that I was going to bring up. You talk about at least there's a rule in place where you can't play for 2 schools in 1 season. I don't think that's going to last very long.
I think they'll hold on to that.
I don't think it's going to last very long, and here's why. So if you're UNLV and you have this kid, and let's say give me a team that needs a quarterback, Power 5. Like
Auburn.
Auburn and Florida State. You're Auburn or Florida State, okay? And you see that this kid is really, really good. If this rule goes away, what's stopping you from going to UNLV and going, hey, we want this kid, we're going to be able to offer him more money, but we'll give you X amount to stay out of the way? And if you're a mid-major program and, you know, you're getting paid to go lose to Alabama or whatever, yeah, you know, if you're a mid-major program and here's a, you know, a Power 5 offering you $1 million to get this player, what's going to stop you from saying yes?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're an AD, now you don't, again, this goes to the whole thing. You don't have to like it.
Right.
You can feel icky about it, whatever. But if it's within the rules, which right now that's definitely under the table, not within the rules, but I think it's going to be. What's stopping you?
When we go to press conferences and they bring out a player, what do they call that player?
when they bring out a player?
Yep. They call him a student athlete.
Right.
They never call him a player. At what point is it not about going to class and just making a minor league for players who don't want to go to college? NFL's got the money. Why don't they do it?
Okay, well,
you don't want to go to class. I mean, this is, you're not, if you're transferring, you're no, you don't care about school. And let's get past that.
Sure, you don't. You don't care about school. But, I mean, here's the other thing. You can call it whatever you want. You know, college football's added a two-minute warning that they call the two-minute timeout. It's still the two-minute
right.
warning. Like, it's the same thing. So the whole term student-athlete doesn't mean anything anymore. I mean, these guys and girls are employees, essentially.
Yep, that's it.
And, I mean, that's where this has gone. And, you know, all right, so Rexroad says this. The movement is going to decrease in the future, not increase. Collective bargaining and contracts are coming. I don't think he's wrong there. And that's something that people on our text line.
But you got to form a union. You can't have collective bargaining without
a
union.
And they got to do that.
So so I'm going to ask you this. You can play at North Carolina. How are you going to talk to a guy who goes to Oregon State? You got to be in the same union.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a – so these lawyers are going to drop in. It's become an absolute nightmare and a blank show, and you know it. And look, we spent the first 21 minutes of the show talking about off-the-field stuff. That's just the way it's going, and it's just disastrous in so many ways where this is heading. And they all created it, and they're going to start blaming each other. I hate it. You know what? I tell people, you want to see football? Go watch Cumberland play.
Sure.
They ain't bitching about the NIL. Go down there and see Cumberland play.
No, but I mean, it's going to trickle down. I mean, look, it's already being discussed in high schools. And I will never forget a conversation that we had, I think it was Darren and I, with Kevin Creasy about, you know, all this stuff was starting in the NCAA, and, you know, he was like, he could see it. He knew it was probably going to seep down to high school at some point, and it's like, I hate that day. I will hate that day whenever it comes. And it's already there.
It's been that way.
It's been, right, sure.
Because the private schools, I look at you, Brentwood Academy, you've at Innsworth, you've been recruiting players for years and getting them over there. Right, Dr. Crane?
You
know that.
You're 100% right. And now in the modern day of high school football, you have players that are in the NFL currently or are retired, and they go back to their high school alma mater, and they use them as a recruiting tactic, unfortunately.
Of course they do.
Look, I don't
I mean, again,
it's free.
I like it, but why wouldn't you?
I would, yeah.
I don't fault, like, what, Corn Elder is from, what, Smyrna or Laverne or something?
Went to Innsworth.
I don't fault him at all.
Yeah.
But let's get it out in the open. He was recruited to go there.
Sure.
That's great. All right, you can do that. That's why the TSSAA is going to make that rule where you get one time transfer, no matter what. You do whatever
just
you do.
Just like college, essentially.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of you weighing in on this, and I'm trying to keep track of everything. Dustin in Hopkinsville, it's coming. Now that they're paid, it's going to be the baby NFL. At some point, we will have a player lockout, a full season with no college football, because the players get together and all decide to hold out for more health insurance, better food, better living quarters for their players. But here's – okay, that's a really interesting point, but I don't think so, and here's why. If you're at UNLV, yeah, I would probably do that. If you're at Alabama, why would you give that up? Like,
right?
You're golden at like Alabama or LSU or Ohio State or Michigan or, you know, these Big Ten SEC programs, things like that.
Yeah.
You ain't worried.
No, you're not.
You're good. Like, you almost don't even want to go to the NFL because it's going to be a step down.
I told you the story about talking to Derrick Henry's first year in 2016. I'm like, hey, what do you think about being here? He's, well, it's not Alabama.
Right.
And he talked about the facilities.
He probably took a pay cut.
Chase, don't you be saying that.
I mean, like, these guys, especially the, you know, elite of the elite, are, I mean, I don't know a better way to put this, treated like gods.
Of course they are.
On their campus.
Yes.
And that's why they have problems later in life, because that goes away.
Yep.
Eventually. But it's just like, if I'm a, you know, quarterback, if I'm a student athlete at Georgia, and it's like I get a phone call from, you know, you at Samford, like, hey, we're gonna do a national lockout, I'd be like, no, I'm good. See ya.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
By the way, Samford has asked that we not mention that I went there.
Okay.
So if we can do that going forward, they would really appreciate the fact that their worst student did not go.
Jason in Manchester, why can't they just put non-compete clauses in NIL contracts? Well, those are basically going away. They that's going through legislation right now where non-competes are basically going to be illegal.
Yeah, I'm not a labor attorney, and maybe that's what it takes to come on the show to explain. If you do get the non-compete, anything with a contract-wise, I would think you'd have to be some sort of a union of some sort. I don't know, and that's the problem. Not a lot of us do know what's going on. So I think we will see in due time how this all plays out, man. But right now, the old, we're trending badly. Well, that's what it is right now.
2758, I coach with a former Brentwood Academy player that won two state championships in the 90s. He told me they had 300 students in school and 100 were football players recruiting for years.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, but they came after my fat butt in the mid-80s. And I was like, sure. No, I'm good at McGavick. I did not want to drive across town.
Coach Flat, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Wasn't him, but it was a member of the staff.
Sure. Everybody.
But it was legal. You to that point, and then they got called out on it, and there was a big lawsuit and – at all. That was a big problem with the TSSAA and Brentwood Academy happened.
John, okay, so according to our call screener here, John has a story on the Sluka family. John, what's up?
How you guys doing today? Good morning. So just about late last night, I was sitting with my roommates in my dorm about 6, 7 o'clock last night. My good friend, first name, oh, not the clothes, last name Sluka, comes in, breaks a story to us that his brother, Matt, will be leaving UNLV, locker cleaned out, off campus, done in Vegas, due to the fact that Barry Odom is not paying out NIL promise to his players. Sluka went to his agent after the first game against Houston, asked for his checks that were promised. Odom denies, ignores him, tells him to show up to practice. Sluka, third game in, big game against Kansas, wins, best start in school history. Odom's looking great. Luca's like, you got to give me my money, man. 3 weeks in, goes back to the agent. Agent calls Odom, nothing. No response, nothing. Agent tells Sluka, listen, if you play 4 games, your eligibility is done. That's it. Tell Sluka, get your stuff cleaned out. We're leaving campus. We're going to get you that extra year, get you the money you promised. And that's it. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you, John, with that. That, as a reporter, there are two sides to every story.
Sure.
That's the one side. Now we got to have the other side.
Right. Because, again, there are conflicting reports that, UNLV did pay all that.
Yep.
Now, I will say, and this is just an opinion by me, Barry Odom's a football coach. Barry Odom is an old school football coach.
Right.
And my guess is there is some of that, like some of these other old school football coaches that are like, I'm tired of this bleep.
Yeah.
Get out there and practice. This is the head coach probably isn't handling the checks.
No.
Is what I'm saying. So he's like, we'll get that taken care of. You need to focus on football. That wouldn't shock me at all.
And now he's dealing with agents. Let me tell you what. I played for 3 head coaches, high school, junior college, and college. 3 different head coaches. They all said, I don't want your daddy on the field. Mm-hmm. I don't want your mommy on the field. And now you got the agent calling. Now, if Odom didn't pay these people, that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem. But why is he paying them? Don't you have a collective?
Sure, I'm sure they do, but it's like
this has so many tentacles. It's going to get worse and worse before we really figure everything out.
We will ask John McClain about this. Actually, I'm curious of his thoughts. Plus, everything going on with the NFL. It's the Chasing Big Joe Show on the Wednesday, 102.5, 106. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. The game. We are taking care of business every day here. On this program, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We say hello now to the great John McClain, who is on the line with us from Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
Well, I wanted to let you guys know I didn't want to do this publicly, but if you don't give me my NIL money, I'm quitting.
I mean, that's how it is now. What do you make of this story, John? I mean, this is, to me, the toothpaste isn't going back in the tube. One guy does it, others are going to follow.
And it could have been guys that walked away for that reason. They just didn't make it public.
Right.
The UNLV quarterback has quit on his team. He quit on his team. They're undefeated. They're coming up with a big game. They have inside track to the college football playoff if they keep winning, and he just quit on his team. Number one, his agent should have gotten everything in writing. Or I think he should have protested, like, gone public with what he was promised, and he thought about leaving the team or boycotting one game, but he couldn't do it for his teammates and everything, and kind of shamed UNLV and or the alums, the collective, whoever it was that didn't do what they said. But I would not have handled it like this. It is a pockmark that he's never going to get rid of, quitting on his team. That is the worst thing you can do at any level of sports, is quit on your team. It's a reputation that will follow you forever.
But what do you think, though, that this does for the future of college sports? Because, I mean, it's, you know, verbally, Pete Thamel saying that, you know, the representation was saying he was verbally promised $100,000 to transfer there. I mean, you know that stuff's going on. But, I mean, to me, if one guy does it, whether it's a bad look or not, I think others are going to follow suit. And to me, they got to get in front of that, and they got to do it quick.
Well, first of all, if they were dumb enough to go there without getting in writing, that's on them. Number two, I do not believe this will become a regular occurrence because of the reasons I just stated. You want to go play in the NFL and you quit on your team, your teammates would hate you. You go to another team, your teammates are going to hate you. And you quit on your team. So, no, I do not see this being a springboard for other players to announce on social media they're leaving because they were not given what they were promised. What it may do is make collectives, schools, whoever's offered him that, make sure they give their players that. I know instances in the NFL that I knew off the record that players would threaten not to play unless their contracts were renegotiated. This was before collective bargaining agreements. And so they would get redone. And so I'm sure this is not the first guy that's done it. He's just the first from a good team who has gone public.
Do you see, here on the horizon, a collective bargaining agreement and contracts, all that coming with college football?
Well, they're so far away from that. Who's going to put it together? Right. The NCAA has got no footballs, basketballs. They got nothing. And so who is going to oversee it? Who's going to implement it? So, no, right now, because it's still the Wild West and anything goes, I don't know how they're ever going to make it happen. Is there going to be one person? Is it going to be a body of work? The SEC, of course, would be the leader to have to agree on anything. But also, TV runs everything, ESPN and Fox. If ESPN and Fox decide, okay, we don't like this anymore, we want you to do this, then there would be a movement for it. But right now, everybody's going in different directions, and everything goes. You can imagine how many times players have said behind the scenes, okay, look, you said you were going to give me $100,000. You know, I want it by next week in two installments of 50 and 50, or I'm not going to play, not quit on your team publicly, but I'm not going to play, or I want more. You know, a lot of it, the parents are behind it because the parents got their hands out too. I'm told parents in high school got their hands out, which is illegal, but of course they're going around colleges offering the parents money in high school. At some point, it'd be middle school, maybe even some sixth grader.
It's not going to end. We're talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, to the NFL, I had two different people wanted me to ask you your opinion on this. You know, the last couple of years, it's been talked about how Patrick Mahomes gets calls from the referees and all that. And people are like, no, it's just football. But watching Sunday night, John, just your thoughts on this, because there are a couple of plays that were definitely pass interference, not called. And I know that's not – NFL's not like, oh, we're helping Pat Mahomes out. But more and more people, John, are talking about this. What are your thoughts about this?
The interference in the end zone in which the Chief grabbed the guy and held his arms back, the official was right there looking at it. And I don't – maybe he was looking at something else, but he was in position to see it, and they missed it. And, of course, it was in the Chiefs' favor. So some people would say, well, the Chiefs have earned this by winning three Super Bowls and two in a row under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But you see bad calls all around the league. You see bad – there was one on Monday, and you see them. And until they get what Bill Belichick – tried to get pushed through, and I don't know why they didn't do this. Anything is reviewable. And their complaint is, well, that would extend the games. No, it wouldn't change challenges. It wouldn't change anything. But a coach could, if he saw something egregious, he could challenge it at any point of the game, and he could lose his timeout. So it would not make the game any longer. At some point, I think they're coming to that. I also wish that they had an eye in the sky who could say, hey, you guys need to call interference on number 40. But I'm sure the official thought at a time like that, he didn't want to affect the outcome of the game, but he should have. And we see it every week. Just some of them are not on national TV.
Absolutely. All right, John, we're three games into the National Football League season, and there's a couple of teams that are unbeaten. I got to tell you, John, the Buffalo Bills, they look like they're firing at all cylinders. Your thoughts on the Bills, and after that, the Steelers as well. I mean, two teams that have come out of the gate on fire.
Well, the Bills, I thought they'd be a Super Bowl contender, never thought they wouldn't win the AFC East, but they've been great. Josh Allen would be the MVP right now. Kansas City has struggled to win, as they often do, till they get to the playoffs. There's just something magical about them doing what it takes to pull out games. I just saw Minnesota just dismantle the Texans. It was ugly, 34-7. And then the Steelers, they're winning with great defense, old-fashioned football. And Justin Fields, I was asked on a show this week, how many legitimate Super Bowl contenders are there? And I said, well, Kansas City and Buffalo, and I can't say Pittsburgh's a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Justin Fields. I can't say Minnesota's a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Sam Darnold off to a great start for three games. And with San Francisco suffering injuries and Philadelphia and Dallas struggling, I think there's two. Baltimore beats the Cowboys. Baltimore's still 1-2. Now, I told them, ask me in 8 weeks, and it'll change, because some of these teams off the bad starts will do well. Some off the good starts will fold. It happens every year. But right now, I see two teams, if I could say, legitimate Super Bowl, and that's the Bills and the Chiefs.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Wednesday, continuing our discussion with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. You mentioned the Chiefs earlier and how they struggle to win, as they sometimes do. How concerned should Chiefs fans and should the Chiefs be that Travis Kelce, their star tight end, 8 catches, 69 yards, no touchdowns in 3 games?
Patrick Mahomes is asked about that, of course, every week, maybe multiple times a week, and he said every time I look up for him, he's being covered. Now, what, did they not cover him last year? I think it's terrible that people now are blaming it on Taylor Swift, spending too much time with her. He's also, people forget, he's older.
And he's 34,
As you get older and you've taken the beating that he's taken, at some point he's going to start to slip. But it would help, of course. Now, Rashee Rice, if he's playing really well, I'm beginning to think his suspension won't be till next season, and that's too bad because he deserved to be suspended this season. But maybe they are putting more people against Kelce this year. They've come up with some kind of new plan, and it's opening up wide. You know, Xavier Worthy started off great in that first game. He hadn't done much lately because you got to do something about just run fast. So, but they're still winning, and I think they're doing it without a significant contribution from Kelce, and that makes their achievement being even more impressive.
Now, we've basically haven't brought it up to this point, but now we got to get into the team here in Nashville. 0-3 to start the season. They not only lose to the Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur and Malik Willis, but they got blown out. I mean, it was not a pretty game. I was there. There were more Packer fans, I think, and than Titans fans. So what's kind of your thought at this point on the Titans starting off 0-3 in the Brian Callahan era?
Well, of course, everybody expected more. And in this game with Malik Willis, they trade him. They keep Mason Rudolph. Right now, the Matt LaFleur and his staff on offense doing a great job of coaching and game planning for Malik Willis, who has the highest average per carry and the highest average per attempt in the NFL. And yet he may not play another game. He might be a candidate for comeback player of the year if he never plays another game, because they have done a great job of incorporating him into their system. Now, if you look at the Titans, nobody has to tell them you can't run the ball 11 times and average 3 yards a carry and expect to win. I thought when they were down 20-7 and in the third quarter, they scored a touchdown, makes it 20-14, and it's competitive, but it was the other way around. 27-7 in the third quarter, so that takes you out of your total game plan. One of the many things that surprised me about the Titans, is this stat right? The defense is not forced to turn over?
That's correct.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I wonder when the last time, and where are they rated defensively? It's like top five?
They were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were like number one for a minute.
Well, that is a stat that just blows me away, considering they're supposed to be able to play good defense. And I know there's a lot of people up there saying they need to bench Will Levis. Well, you don't learn anything about Levis by benching him after three games and going to Mason Rudolph. You're not going to make the playoffs. Since the start of 2000, the only 0-3 team to make the playoffs was the 2018 Texans, who had a 9-game winning streak. So they got to watch Levis, so they will know. See if they see any improvement. See if he's not making the same mistakes he's been making. And I wonder if Amy Adams Strunk said to Rand Carthon and to Brian Callahan after she saw the Cowboy game, "Now tell me again why, when we were spending all that cap money, we didn't want to keep Derrick Henry."
I wonder.
Exactly right. We're talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, the Titans travel to Miami to take on the Dolphins on Monday night. There's a little heat on Mike McDaniel down there. Do you see this getting worse for him or better going forward, John?
Well, I don't. When you've lost your two quarterbacks, I don't know how there could be heat on a guy, except people were thinking Super Bowl of them. I never thought Dolphins and Super Bowls should be in the same sentence. But you lose to Tagovailoa. You don't know when he's coming back. And then Thompson gets hurt. Now you're going with Tim Boyle, who was on the Texans roster throughout the offseason and preseason. And he's a veteran starter. And people wondered, well, the Texans, boy, they look so good in preseason. Well, they had three veteran quarterbacks playing. They didn't have some rookie who was an undrafted free agent coming in and screwing up. So Boyle is the guy. I'm not saying he's going to do what Malik Willis did, but Boyle can run too, not like Willis, of course. But they're going to be home. It's going to be, let's see, it's at Miami, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Prime time. And so if the Titans have to play better on both sides of the ball, are they capable of winning? Yes, they're capable of winning. One of the things I liked about Mike Vrabel, and last year was a great example, nothing to play for. Jaguars win. They win the division. Titans beat them. They were capable under Vrabel of pulling upsets when we all thought they were going to lose. Now Brian Callahan needs to prove he's capable of doing that, and you have caught a team that's got injuries, especially at quarterback. When you're on your third quarterback, you ought to be able to beat a team.
Oh, absolutely. John, your thoughts on the Bengals? I know they always start slow, but they just seem off this year for some reason.
Not slow like this, Joe. They are to me the biggest disappointment in the NFL. There are others like the Ravens at 1-2, the Cowboys 1-2. Cowboys could go from first to worst. They always beat the Giants. They own the Giants. But what if the Giants beat them on Thursday night to put them in last place? Can you imagine what's going to be going on up there in Big D? And so the Bengals being 0-3, we all thought, okay, they've been 0-2 before. They're going to win this one. And they get beat. They get beat by rookie quarterback who looked like the reincarnation of John Elway and the way he was throwing the ball down the field. So I don't think Zach Taylor's in danger of being fired. But, of course, they can turn it around. But I don't see him going to the playoffs. I mean, they're three games behind the Steelers right now. I could see Baltimore bouncing back behind Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, but I don't see the Bengals bouncing back enough to get in the playoffs.
Real quick, John, if the Cowboys do lose to the Giants on Thursday night, does Jerry fire somebody? Maybe not the head coach, but does somebody lose their job over that?
Yeah, the fans would love him to fire himself. It's not going to happen. The only head coach he's ever fired during the season, Wade Phillips in 2010. Yep. He's not a quick trigger. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But if the way they have beaten the Giants so thoroughly throughout the last 10 or 15 years, to lose that would be the ultimate indignity. And I think there's a lot of people like to see it, including Cowboy fans, because they want McCarthy gone. And the problem is, everybody saw they needed a running back except them. Now they can't run, and they can't stop the run. It's the first time after three games in their history they've been last against the run.
Unbelievable for sure. John, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Yes, sir. John McClain, HoustonTexans.com, where you can find his work, and he joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We keep it moving. Coming up next, Derek Mason, head coach of the MTSU Blue Raiders. He will join us as they get ready for their game against Memphis. We'll do that next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.